We're going to continue in our series, Love Story. But as I was in Africa this last week and I was finishing up the message for this Sunday, there's just something about reading from the book of Hosea, chapters 4, 5, and 6, especially how she was a prostitute and so forth and so on. I thought, you know, for Valentine's Day, I just don't know that's the exact text I want to use this Sunday. So come back next week. You'll hear more about Hosea. How's that? But we're going to stay in the theme of love story, and we're going to talk today about what true love is. What is true love? Because it matters. How many of you are in love? Can I see your hands? That's just putting some of you on the spot, isn't it? I mean, it really does. Are you really in love? What does it mean to have true love? I mean, love that's real. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, the best known chapter in the entire Bible, even by non-Christians. It's read at weddings. It's put on poetry books, a lot of other things. What is love? Now, it's fascinating where that chapter comes up, because the reality is it's talking about spiritual gifts. And there are three places that the Apostle Paul writes about spiritual gifts: Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 13, or 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. And right in the middle of those chapters, 1 Corinthians 13, he begins to write about love. And what is real love? What is true love? What does it mean to really be in love with someone? It's fascinating because spiritual gifts deal with the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our life. And I would say this to you today, and I heard a man say this last week. A lot of times we look at spiritual gifts and we think, wow, you know someone is Spirit-filled if they have a miraculous ministry, or they're prophetic, or they can pray and people are healed, or they have a great evangelism ministry or a teaching ministry. But what's interesting, more than anything else, the sign of a Spirit-filled Christian is that their character has been dramatically changed. It's not that you got emotional, excited, or whatever else, but it's that your life has fundamentally been transformed by the Holy Spirit, by God living in your life. That's how we know that. If that's true, that says to me, men, that the number one thing we need to be most concerned about is how we love our wives and parent our children. This last week, I was with a lot of pastors, and several of them would come over to the side and ask me, tell me the most important thing about starting a church, about being a pastor, about working around the world. What is the absolute most important thing that I need to do? And I told them again and again, one thing. First and foremost, be a godly husband and a godly father. It is your credibility that others are seeing. It is your credibility. It is your reality. If they can't see God living in your marriage, God living in your parenting, you're never going to be effective. The gospel can work in your family. Do you know what love begins with? A sense of awe. Let me just ask you this. How many of you were awestruck by your husband or wife when you first met him? Did I see hands? How many of you? Yeah, you. There was the first thing that you felt was a sense of awe. Did you know that? Now, how many of you, the first time you saw your husband or wife, they repulsed you? Most of us, there was a sense of awe. I remember when I first saw my wife. I mean, I was in the eighth grade. She was in the seventh grade. She was the best looking thing I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, I was so excited to be near her. Any chance I could take to get up close to her, I would. I mean, when I was in the youth group, I would just love to be able to even sit near her. You know, that's when you're in seventh, eighth grade, that's kind of a courageous thing. And I mean, I would just, every morning when I would go to school, I would sit on this brick wall and I would watch for Nikki to walk. She got off bus number 4. We lived in a town of 1,000. She lived way out in the country with 6 hogs and 12 horses. And I mean, when she came to town, it was exciting for me. And I'd watch her. She had a little limp at that time because she'd been in a car accident. But I would watch her walk into class. I mean, anytime I had a chance. And you know, I remember we'd break up and get back together and break up and get back together. But then came that awesome day when I asked her to marry me and she said, yes. And then came that awesome day where we got married a few years later. And if there would have been a graceful way for both of us to have run out, we would have. We were scared to death. And then we got married, and because I love God and I'm going into the ministry and everything, it was wonderful, it was perfect, and it was the perfect marriage from hell. I mean, you want to talk about being miserable? We could not stand one another. The honeymoon was over. You know what I've learned? You never say, I do, the day you get married. Never. You really say, I do, 2 years into it, 3 years into it, 5 years into it, 7 years into it. And you know, one day after my son was born, we'd had a knockdown, dragout. Can I be honest? We got in a big argument. We were yelling at one another. Of course, she was yelling louder than me. But you know, we were just yelling and going, ugh. I mean, let me tell you something. We were warriors. Ah! I mean, we were there. And I got in my car and I began to drive out and I thought, you know, I got one of three options. Number one, get divorced. Half of you have been through a divorce here today. At least half of you. Another option, be miserable. There's a lot of you, you've never been divorced. You're with the same one you started with. And you can't stand one another. And I've seen people do that. Or a third option, deal with our junk and move forward. And here's what I learned. I didn't know what true love really was. I knew what physical, emotional, I understood all of that. But what does it mean to love someone? And it makes sense that Paul puts this here because he's speaking of the church. And later, he'll tell us that we have to love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's fascinating to me. All these spiritual gifts passages all come back to family and marriage. It's really incredible when you think about it. Let me tell you something. If you want the Holy Spirit for no other reason to have a happy marriage, you need the Holy Spirit. Because in your strength, you will not be able to do it. I don't want to discourage you. I don't want to give you a bad attitude towards marriage. I'm just telling you, and some of you adults, would you nod your hand? Would you say amen so these teenagers will understand? Marriage is hard work. Amen. So look at 1 Corinthians 13. It says, verse 1, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Here's the first thing I want you to understand. True love is supreme above all else. True love is supreme above all else to the degree that it's deeper than any words that you can say. Look at what he says. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but don't have love. I once heard someone say of their spouse one time, another pastor and a pastor's wife, they were having an argument and she literally told him, you may be a giant in the pulpit, but you're a mouse in this home. It's a pretty harsh statement. Guys, let me tell you something. It's more than just words. We can come to church and hear music and hear words, but what does it mean to put those words into practice? It has to go beyond the words. The words need to back up the behavior. Let me tell you, I believe you need to tell one another that you love one another. Men, you need to tell your wife, I love you. And not just when you're going to bed. You need to tell your wife you love her. Wives, you need to tell your husbands, I love you. You need to hear that. There's something that it does to us psychologically when we heal one another, bless one another with that statement. You know, there's a reason why when you say, I love you, what is the response? If I were to say to you, doctor, if I were to say, I love you, what would you say? Man, I really love you. What? That's right. I love you too. Listen, you want your wife to tell her you love her? Tell her, I love you. And she'll say, I love you too. And if she doesn't, just keep saying it till she does. I'm a preacher. Words are easy for me. My wife was so shy, I'd call her up when she was in the eighth grade and talk to her on the phone. She wouldn't say anything for 30, 45 minutes. I would talk nonstop just to know she was on the other end of the phone. I'd write her these long, beautiful poems and put together these special cards. You know, I was like a woman in that way, but not my wife. She's like a man. Words aren't her thing. Before we got married, she'd sign her cards. Nikki. She'd go pick out a real nice card. Nikki. If it was good, it was happily. Nikki. If I was lucky, it said something like, thinking of you, Nikki. When we got married, it changed. Love, Nikki. Whoa! If it was going deep, it would be underlined. Love, Nikki. Got in last night, had my card this morning. She put on my desk. Oh, this is incredible. The front of, and I have her permission to do this, the front of the card says love. She found a card with the word love on the front of it. Oh, love means communicating without ever saying a word. Saying you're sorry when you truly are. Overlooking each other's imperfections. Cheering each other's victories. Holding on tight when things get tough. Making fun even when you can't find any. Helping each other when you need it most. Sharing space, secrets, and silly jokes. She told me to read it twice. I mean, that's good. Love means having someone special in your life, someone to care, someone to count, someone to call Valentine. And it underlined you. Oh, baby. You know, when I opened it, it blew me away. At the bottom, it says, you are my Valentine, and I'm so glad. Because love was on this side. She didn't have to write it twice. But what really blew me away was, if you cameras can get it, look at this side. And I mean on this side, if you notice, she wrote all kind of stuff. It's incredible. But get ready for this. It's not just words. It is a song. I spent a lot of time finding the card with the right words. Reread the front. I truly, deeply love you. I love you, Nikki. And this is a song. If you'll be M-I-N-E mine, I'll be T-H-I-N-E thine. And I'll L-O-V-E love you all the T-I-M-E time. You are the B-E-S-T best of all the R-E-S-T-S. And I will L-O-V-E you love you, Valentine. How many of you men had your wife write a song for you this morning? Yep. Now, there's just one thing that would make this even better. Baby, would you sing it for me? Just would you just, if you would sing it, I will buy you anything you want. I will, it doesn't. I just want to say thank you for this card. Guys, let me tell you something. You can put words into something all you want, but do you know how I know my wife loves me? Not because she's a lady who gives lots of word, because she does tell me she loves me, but because of how she lives her life, because of the sacrifices that she makes for me, because of the things that she puts up with, the challenges, the sacrifice that it takes. And so what I want you to understand, when you're looking at a love that's supreme, it's deeper than any words, it's more powerful than even the supernatural. Isn't it fascinating? He's talking about spiritual gifts here. He's saying, though I prophesy, whether it's forth-telling the gospel or something that you foreknow, he's talking about supernatural gifts here. And when he's dealing with supernatural gifts, he's making it very clear. This gift, this attitude, this love that's present is more critical than anything else. It's more powerful than anything. It's greater than any personal sacrifice I could make. Look at what it says. If I give my body, if I give my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Nothing. The whole implication, what we're seeing is that love has to be supreme above all else. The second thing, true love is perfecting beyond human ability. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Listen to this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not just, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did y'all just hear what I said? It's describing love. Read it slow. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not arrogant. Are you these things? Love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. True love is perfecting beyond human ability. Love pushes us beyond our ability. What does it mean for love to push us beyond our human ability? I mean, when it describes words like patient, how many of you guys struggle with patience? Could I see your hands? How many of you guys struggle with kindness? Could I see your hands? I don't mean you're not a kind guy, but what is about us guys, sometimes we can be gruff. What does it mean to live a life of kindness? Love pushes us beyond our ability. Love turns us into people we generally are not. In other words, if you look at what the things it says that love are, it's amazing how that a woman can come into a man's life and a man that can be gruff can all of a sudden be so kind and tender and gentle with that woman. Why is that? Because love did something to them. They're in awe of that person. They respect them. Love, it's not just supreme, it's perfecting. It changes us. It makes us grow because as we love one another, we challenge one another. Love, it has an instantaneous effect on us. Let me give you an illustration of what I mean by that. Love has to be beyond our ability. How many of you have been married more than 40 years? 40 years or more. Could I see your hands? Just hold them up high. Hold them up high. All right. I see a few of you in the building. How many of you that have been married 40 years, hold your hands up high for me again. I want to see who you are. Have you ever been fed up with her and told her, you get on my nerves? Have you? Yeah, I see you shaking your head. Have you ever told him the same thing? Have you ever told him, pick it up, boy? Have you ever challenged him? Yeah. Jane, I want to ask you something. You're married to a significant pastor who's done a lot of awesome things. God has used. Have you ever had to challenge him at the point of flesh in his life? Y'all don't fight anymore? You never fight? You know, I want to have a little fun. Will y'all let me have a little fun? You won't get mad at me or anything? All right. Riley and Amanda, would y'all come up here real quick? Real quick. Come on, come on, come on. Riley and Amanda, come on, real fast. Come up here, come on. Come on, Riley and Amanda, come on, real quick. And Jim and Jane, I want y'all to come right here. Now, I want y'all to understand something you may not know. But this is very true, and I'm going to give you all this wireless microphone. And I'm just curious, while they're coming up, Jim and Jane, how many years have you guys been married? 54 years. Give them a hand. Now, Riley and Amanda, how old are you, Riley? You're 15. How old are you, Amanda? 15. You're 15. Why are you holding her hand? Huh? She's my girlfriend. No, speak up.
She's my girlfriend.
It's kind of special being Valentine's Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
How long have you liked her?
Long time.
Well, how long? 54 years?
No.
How long?
Probably a year and a half.
Year and a half? Now, how long have you liked him?
Year and a half.
Year and a half. Now, let me ask you this, guys. You know y'all probably won't get married. It's probably not, I mean, I love you. But you, I mean, you may. But chances are y'all going to break up one day and boo-hoo and cry. You're young, you know, you've got college and things like that. But enjoy today. It's Valentine's Day. And, you know, but you probably won't make it. How many of you would agree with me? Hold on. See, look out there. But it's okay. Now, you may. My wife and I made it. And you may become just like me. And you like, wouldn't that be exciting? All right. Now, let me tell you why you like her. When you're around her, is there a certain scent you can smell her and you know, that's Riley? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah.
Really? You've just proven my point. Science teaches that what attracts you to someone is called pheromones or hormones or something like that. And they're the things that you smell in your nose. Did you know that? And the reason you were attracted to her and you were to him is because it was where y'all were probably smelling good towards one another, but that's what happened. It is. It's the truth. Now, you have 21 days, so after 22 days, it's possible that you do have some feelings that are legitimate, because has it been longer than 21 days since you felt passion towards her? Have y'all had an argument yet? Have y'all worked through the argument? Have y'all had to give and take in the relationship? Let me ask you this. Aren't they a beautiful couple? Been married 50. How old were you, Jim and Jane, when y'all got married?
19.
How old were you, Jane?
19.
Man, just think, 4 years, y'all could get married. Now, let me ask you this. And we're just horsing around. I love you. I'm your pastor. Y'all love me? Okay, good deal. I love you too. All right, now, would you like to be like them one day?
They look happy.
They are happy, aren't they? Nice, sweet couple, been married 54 years. Wouldn't that be nice? All right, let me ask y'all some questions. I just want y'all to be real honest, and I really want you to talk to them. And now, Jane, you got to be honest. I know you're a sweet lady. All right, be honest. Have y'all ever argued, fussed, and fought? Ever?
Yes.
Has it ever been intense?
Well,
I don't mean you were beating one another up. I'm just saying, you know.
I guess so. Yeah, again, it's been so long ago, I can't remember.
Y'all don't fight ever anymore?
No.
Wow. Nikki, we just got 12 more years to go, baby. All right. Has it ever been hard, Jim?
Yes.
Have there ever been times? Now, just be honest. And if it, you know, the truth is the truth. Has there ever been times y'all thought, man, this just isn't worth it?
Early on, I went through a period of time wondering if Jane was really the right person, that if I had married the right person. She had wondered the same thing. Mm-hmm. We found each other in Jesus in an experience with him, falling in love with him. We fell in love with each other at a level we didn't even know was possible.
Wow.
And so it is out of his tank of love, our tank has remained full.
Do you love him more? No, not him, her. Do you love, I give it to the Lord, do y'all love one another more today than you did 54 years ago?
Oh, yes, definitely.
What about 30 years ago?
Yes.
10 years ago?
Yes.
In the last 2 years, do you think y'all have still grown at a level of understanding one another in love?
Yes.
And then.
Wow. Now let me ask y'all something. Y'all just been going out, seeing one another on weekends. And you're in the church. Quit holding her hand there. You need to be thinking about the Lord. When it's over, you can get your Valentine. Not right now. Now, y'all can. Oh, that's fine, because they're married. Married people can hold hands. Do you ever kiss your wife? You can do that, but you can't. Have you ever kissed her? Well, that's all right. We're not going to go there. Do you think you know her like he knows her?
No.
You think you know him like she knows him? Why?
Just haven't known him that long.
No, but that's right. That's it. You've not known one another. What if she was ugly as sin? Would you still love her? See, those pheromone hormones, That's what's going on. Here's what I want. This is the model. Teenagers, listen to me. Now, y'all love God and you're sweet kids, and you're going to go into the ministry and become missionaries to Africa and give your life for him and have 12 kids. I'm excited about that. But when you look at what love is like, listen to me, teenagers. This is what love looks like. Now, I'm not saying y'all don't love. Let's call it infatuation, you know. But now maybe you love one another. I don't know for sure, so don't be offended. I don't want to hurt your feelings, or don't be mad at me, all right? Okay, good. But that's love. That's love. Amen? Give him a hand. Y'all can go be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. I just want you to understand that real love takes time. It's something that constantly grows, and it's something that's beyond your ability. Finally, true love is eternal, ever-increasing, and unmeasurable. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 8. Look at what it says. Love never fails. Some translations say love never ends. Some say love never ceases. If there's knowledge, it'll be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial would be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And I know in part, but then I will know fully just as I have been fully known. Now listen to what he says. But now, faith, hope, and love. Abide in these three. This is the key to the Spirit-filled life. This is the key to fulfilling spiritual gifts in ministry. He says, but the greatest of these is what? Love. Love. Love is the platform on which the kingdom is built. Love never ends. It's not static. It keeps growing with time. Love, it's something that will take far more than your human flesh, but the supernatural. Wow, what a testimony when Jim and Jane were talking about how God had worked in their life, and through their personal relationship with God, they found a depth in their commitment to one another, to know one another, to be complete. When I think about this dimension of love, the great tragedy is many of you in this room are not going to find it. Because you're just going to start over again and again. Finish, stay with where you are. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care where you are in the process. Because God wants you to grow deep in your relationship with that person. We got in yesterday afternoon. I was sitting on the plane, and I can't stand sitting on a plane that long, but I was going crazy, and I put my hands behind me, and I keep my finger, my wedding ring, on my left finger because I swell when I fly for whatever reason. And so I keep it on this finger because if I keep it here, my hand swells up. It's 2 days before I can get it off. So I had it on, and I had my hands behind my back and had that airplane seat when all of a sudden my wedding ring fell off. And I mean, it went down. You know how those airplane seats are. There's no way you can get in there and get that stuff out. It's gone. And my heart just sunk. I thought, man, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. Nikki and I have been married almost 30 years. I was upset. My son's been married a couple of years. He's lost his wedding ring 2 or 3 times. I have never lost my wedding ring. But it came off. And man, it was behind that seat. And I was just beside myself. So I got up and took a deep breath, said, stay calm, Bob, stay calm. And I could see something in there, and I saw 2 quarters. Carefully reached in there. I got those 2 quarters. I got everybody to get up looking for my rings. I got $362 worth of quarters on the way. No, I'm just kidding, but this is no joke. This is no joke. I said, God, please help me find that ring. Let me get it. And this is literally what happened. I stuck my hand in between the cracks of that seat. And when I did, I put my hand in right like this. And however this ring was, it was positioned in there in such a way that my little finger went straight into it, and I could tell what was happening. And so I was going real slow, hoping it wouldn't fall off, and it didn't. You think God cares about this wedding ring? Yeah, I do. It's sentimental to me. It's been with me all over the world. It's a statement to people that I'm making that says, I love my wife. I'm married. I'm taken. There's someone that I care deeply about. It's important to me. One of the questions I've wondered is, when marriages end, what happens to all the stuff? The pictures, the rings. Some of you have been through that pain, and it's real. I know it's real. I just want to challenge you with where you are, who you've got today. Man, you love them with all your being, because they are an incredible gift that God has given you. And Jim, you just preached a whole sermon to us, because the reality is, even if you're struggling with where you are, if you discover him at a deeper level, man, you can discover that spouse. He gives you internal strength. So I don't know where you are. Some of you are probably struggling today. Some of you are probably, you've been wounded so bad, man, you're scared to get married again or get into a relationship. I understand that. But know that his strength is with you. He loves you with a pure love. And that being the template of what we have, we can in turn love others, especially our wife and our husband. Amen? We're going to do something a little different today. I was going to have us that are married read our vows to one another, but I don't want to do that. I want somebody to play softly at the piano if they would. And while they are, I'm going to open up the altar. Here's what I'm going to do. Y'all are here when we pray for church planters. You know how we come, we lay hands on them. Man, I'm going to invite you just to bring your wife. And just like we lay hands on those church planters, to just put your hands on your wife's head or shoulders and just commit her to the Lord and pray for her. Thank God for her. Affirm her. And just tell her that you want to be the spiritual leader and see her grow and you want to be there for her. And then ladies, I'm going to give you that same opportunity to pray for your husbands. Put your hands on him. Say, thank you that, God, you've given me this man to be married to, and I want to grow in our love and in our relationship and in our vision of life together. And let's just commit one another to the Lord. Amen? So I'm going to invite you to come right now. Nikki, I'm going to ask you to come. I want to pray for you. And I just want you to come and just begin to pray. Just all across the front. Matt's going to come, and after we've prayed a while, and he'll lead us in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we love you with all of our heart. God, I just ask you, Father, this Valentine's Day, for you to be alive and present in our hearts and in our lives. God, we love you. And we thank you for what you've done and for what you are doing. And I thank you for Nikki. And I thank you, God, for all of these that have come forward, God, that have recommitted their marriages, those who may be doing the same thing, God, where they're sitting. So you just guide them, you direct them, and you stay near them. Is my prayer in your name. Amen.